Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers have broken their preseason losing streak, and Rob Pelinka has a contract extension. Two big things happening this weekend. We'll talk about both next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always available for free, never behind a paywall. Free for you, not for them. But never behind a paywall, Andy. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the podcast a little early. You can participate in the chats that have grown up there. It's a really great audience that is developing. We really appreciate the community that is being put together around it, supporting the YouTube channel. So thank you to you and you. Yes, Spike. So the Rob Pelinka extension came over the weekend, and that is something that certainly had Lakers fans talking, and we will get into that because there are a lot of layers to this. And when you start to read more of the reporting, it actually does explain a lot, I think, of what we have seen this summer. So we'll get to that, but let's start with what happened on Sunday, Andy. The Lakers, the nine-game preseason losing streak is over, 124-121. The Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco. This despite no LeBron, no Pat Beverly, no Russell Westbrook.
And still no Troy Brown or Dennis Schroeder.
Right, the olds, though, as I call them. The over 30 set for the Lakers basically didn't play. Anthony Davis did. And so we can talk about that. Darvin, which we want to get into, AD's performance first or these guys sitting? Because both of us have all these guys sitting because we have both made a thing out of the importance of getting the big three on the floor together a lot this preseason. Darvin said this has been the plan all along. This is how they're doing it. They're going to stick with it. He expects Wednesday and Friday, the final two preseason games, to look more like regular season games. They will have Dennis Schroeder to be able to put into them. So theoretically, save Troy Brown, everybody's going to be available and they can get a look at it. But those guys didn't play. And okay, it's the preseason. I get it's the plan. I kind of wish they had.
Yeah, I do wish they had, although it is worth noting that one of the games that the big three didn't play together, the original plan was for them to play together, and AD had the lower back issue.
Right, but they didn't.
I know, but I'm talking about in terms of design, and in terms of the overall plan for this, the game, the back-to-back, AD would have ended up sitting out because that's when he would have sat out with LeBron and Russ and Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn even, who obviously you have to be a little bit mindful of given everything he missed last year. So I'm pointing this out just because it's worth noting that one of the games AD missed was not part of the overall design. It was, oh crap, his lower back is tightening. We need to sit him. So just in terms of getting the overall picture, that is worth noting. I do wish that they would play more. Like I would have liked to have seen this as a night where the big three play together, if even for just 15 minutes. That being said, my concerns over it are alleviated, I'd say to a tangible degree, because the Lakers as a whole, when the guys who matter played, have looked pretty good. Like they've looked considerably better than they did last year in the preseason.
I would agree.
Regardless of who was playing, they've looked way better.
Low bar to clear, but I completely agree.
But it matters, though.
It does. No, right. It does matter. And I think, you know, the early indications are, and I am not saying, you know, this is a secret four seed and all these other things that people just aren't giving a lot of respect to. The rest of the West is still brutal. The road ahead is still difficult and all that. Early preseason versus preseason returns would indicate that this is a better team than last year.
Yep.
And it helps. You know, you look through the performances tonight. And again, well, you know, Matt Ryan vying for the last spot on the team, hit 6 of 9 three-pointers, scored 20 points. You know, we'll see. We'll get to him maybe, you know, maybe tonight. We'll get to him later, you know, over the course of the week as we, you know, the roster takes shape or whatever. But when you look at the players who matter, Kendrick Nunn was great. 21 points, 8 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 7 from three-point range, 7 assists. You know, so we saw that. Lonnie Walker had 4 more assists tonight, Sunday night, in kind of a, you know, again, the Lakers giving him opportunities to do some facilitating. He hit 3 of his 6 three-pointers. The Lakers as a team finally busted out and had a good shooting night, 43.6% from three-point range, 50% from the floor.
Wasn't so, just G League Matty Ice carrying them as usual.
No, in like, you know, some weird minutes or whatever. And now G League Matty Ice did carry them. It's a different
point. Oh, he did.
But you know, the guys who needed to who are going to be on this roster and playing, you know, Thomas Bryant only played 12 minutes. He had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I had a bucket taken away for basket interference, but he was in the right spot. And he just, you know,
dicey call.
I actually thought they got that right. But either way, the point is he was there. He was following the play. He was. So, you know, I agree with you there. Obviously, the biggest thing, let's start here. Anthony Davis was just dominant. And, you know, 28 points, 8 of 8 from the line, 9 of 18 from the floor, 2 of 4 from three-point range in only 21 minutes. 8 free throws in only 21 minutes, you know, and the 2 of 4. This was like the most beautiful Anthony Davis shot chart you're ever going to see. It's got a couple three-pointers sprinkled in, some mid-range stuff, three or four buckets inside the paint, the 8 trips to the line. And he had a swagger, Andy, I thought, of like, I am better than all of you people out here tonight. And
yeah,
it was really nice to see.
There was one moment I thought in the first quarter that really embodied that whole you're not going to stop me one way or the other attitude. AD was under the basket and tried a reverse layup and he ended up getting blocked by Kevon Looney, but he got his own rebound, stayed with it, and he ended up getting fouled on the putback attempt. And there was an aggression from the way he played tonight and just a real confidence. And I think also just a guy that is cognizant that there is a lot on the line for him this season, both reputationally, but also for this team. Like if the Lakers are going to, you know, shut up a lot of people who doubted what they did this offseason, doubted their prospects for the season, that has at times included you and me. If you're going to talk about AD in terms of his, you know, his future with this team moving forward, like as the guy that can be transitioned towards, that can start really taking some of that burden off LeBron. Finally, like there is so much for AD. We talked about that GM survey. AD was an afterthought. His biggest showing in that survey was player most likely to have a bounce back season. And while
breakout.
Oh yeah, you're correct. Breakout season.
In the minds of the people who voted, I think they're sort of thinking bounce back, whatever. But
yeah,
the breakout category is generally speaking reserved for second year guys, third year guys, or somebody even like Anthony Edwards, who is breaking out from the, ooh, he's really good too. This guy's probably gonna make an all-star team this year. Like that kind of, Anthony Davis is an established all NBA caliber player who has won a title. And for him to slide back into that category where anybody would even consider putting him in it tells you, I think, everything you need to know about where people think of him in the league.
Yeah. And we talked about this last week, Brian, and nobody questions his talent. Like we had this conversation about whether the last couple of years have led to Anthony Davis being underrated. And my thought is no, I think right now he's properly rated. Everybody knows how great he is at the top of his game, but the top of his game for a variety of reasons doesn't happen enough. I think he's just a really frustrating player. Like he's properly rated, but frustrating.
Yeah.
That said, though, so far, what we've seen in the preseason has been really promising with Anthony Davis. It's the preseason. The preseason does not count towards the things that really matter, but it's all he can do so far.
Right. I
mean, and so far,
there haven't been regular games yet for him to go
out
and
show. So far has been really good for Anthony Davis.
It's funny. You know, you talk about all the commentary and, you know, you and I do work. We appear on Spectrum Sportsnet where the Lakers, you know, that's the home station of the Lakers TV station. It's the home TV station of the Lakers. Like, you know, they are supportive of the team. They, you know, I think you look for, positive things to say and think about and all that. But like Derek Fisher was talking after the game. He is another one of the commentators on the channel after the games. And he said what we've been saying, like for the Lakers, you know, this is on their own stand for the Lakers to do what they want to this year. What we saw tonight, I'm not saying averaging, you know, 28 points in 21 minutes, you know, means he's going to average like 58 points a game or whatever. But like Fish said, like, this is what they need from him if they're going to surprise some people. Like, it can't be every fifth game, every sixth game. This type of output is got to be the norm for Davis all year long. And it's a really high bar to clear. It's a function of the rest of the roster. Although I will say, some of the burden on Davis, some of the burden on guys like LeBron, on, you know, Westbrook, to the extent you believe in that, can be alleviated by players like Kendrick Nunn, who really showed out on Sunday in ways that matter, even though it's preseason. Let's talk about him next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you need to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your job faster and for free. It's easy to lay out all the information about your business, the work environment that you look to foster, examples of projects that you do. From there, add the job that you're looking to fill and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. 2022 is coming to a close. It's extremely important to finish out this fiscal year strong. Small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, we have made a large deal out of Kendrick Nunn. We have called him their most important acquisition of the summer. Obviously, technically, he was on the team last year, but he didn't play. He is the best player that the Lakers have this season that wasn't on the team last season.
In terms of new presences, yes.
And what we saw, particularly in the first half, showed exactly why. Mentioned the 4 of 7 from three-point range. He is a legitimate guy who has shown the ability to knock down three-pointers near 40% in his last full season with Miami. And, you know, you saw the versatility being able to get to the rim. You saw it as a guy who can come off the bench and score, theoretically could start. That is something that Darvin Ham has talked about, although I don't think in the end that he will, but he
Neither
could.
Do I.
The skill and the talent, the Lakers need some, they need players who can fill that next layer of guys who are below your stars. And man alive, did he look like a useful dude in that regard. And then 7 assists, moving the ball well, you know, all of it.
Yeah, he's kept up this ability to score from all over the place, particularly from outside, which the Lakers, as anybody saw last season, desperately needs. Our friend Alex Regalo over at Silver Screen and Roll, I thought, had a really good pair of tweets talking about just the impact of none but a few other guys, including Lonnie Walker, who we're going to get into. One of the bigger stories coming out of Lakers preseason so far is the sheer number of players they have who can now run an offense out of a ball screen. Night and day compared to last season, we've seen Reeves, Nunn, Walker get on ball reps this first quarter. Kendrick Nunn is also the first guard the Lakers have had in some time who can pull up off these ball screens. And there was a really good sequence, Brian, where Nunn and Walker ran a two-man game, and it led to Nunn getting a wide-open corner three. And it got me thinking about just some potentially intriguing options for Darvin Ham. If he thinks that Nunn and Walker could hold up well enough defensively as a reserve backcourt, or at the very least, like playing them in tandem as a backcourt. Because I know last week we talked about how Dennis Schroeder getting back, in my mind at least, helps Darvin make a lot of decisions in terms of what the reserve rotation is going to look like, because in my head, he is Schroeder penciled in as the backup point guard for this team. And if nothing else, he has the most established credentials for that job among any of the other candidates in terms of facilitating.
Finish your thought. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The problem is they've got three of those guys.
But go ahead. Well, but Russell Westbrook, all things being equal, and Russ doing the things that are asked of him, and so far he has, I think is going to start for a variety of reasons, including it's just the simplest way to handle this.
No, I meant three backup point guards.
No. I understand that. I don't count Patrick Beverley in terms of what I'm thinking about, because I think he's going to be used much more as a shooting guard than as a point guard. And he's less of a dynamic presence as a scorer than the other people that we're talking about.
Much different guy. Absolutely.
Austin Reeves has done a really nice job facilitating, but I still think he's not quite established enough at that level. And also, too, I think Austin Reeves, they're ultimately going to need him operating more like a point forward than a point guard in the rotation just for size issues. And that starts, you know, getting you down to Nunn and Walker. And if Nunn and Walker could have that defensive integrity together, you know they're going to get serious consideration, because the Lakers invested a lot of money in both of them. Lonnie Walker was a guy that left a lot of people, us included, a bit mystified as their mid-level exception decision this offseason. You know, I will note it's a three clutch guys in succession getting the mid-level.
Putting it out there.
Just noting. But those two guys playing well together gives you an incredible amount of athleticism, a really dynamic look. I think some really good interchangeability from a scoring perspective, and they could potentially tear up second units.
Potentially. The hope is that, I think I mentioned this on a show last week, that Darvin has some really, really hard decisions to make. That these guys all kind of, there's overlap, there is redundancy, there is difficult getting those. A lot of the things that Schroeder does well, are things that these guys do well.
Yeah.
And if Schroeder's up near 33, 34, 35%, from 3-point range, then that's about as much as you can expect from Lonnie Walker. Like, it's going to be a difficult thing to mix and match these guys in a way that everybody gets to play. But I will say the best way to do it is if they can hold up defensively, you have the option of playing a lot of small lineups with a lot of different combinations and all that kind of stuff. Walker has done pretty well in a couple games, and the shooting obviously has to hold up, but you see kind of the utility. But I do think Alex is exactly right. They have a ton of guys who can handle the ball and in different ways. I think they're operating with them differently. Our friend Krangis McBasketball, Tim at Tim_NBA, noted some of the differences in the types of sets that they're running through the first, I think he did it through the first three games, for example. Way more dribble handoffs, stuff like that, to keep the ball in people's hands, make defenses react, and try to take advantage to some degree and some of the ability of these guys to both pass and put the ball on the floor. And I'm not, guys like him are much better on like X's and O's and sets and things like that. But the point there is that they seem to be working pretty hard, not just to find players who are more athletic and can get downhill and can run, but to actually, as people are sort of seeing with what they're doing, the guys who know this sort of stuff, actually tailor an offense that takes the most advantage of the types of players that they have. We'll see once everybody's back in the lineup what it really looks like. It's always different when LeBron's there, and then Westbrook's going to be there, and Davis is going to be there playing against first teams and all that. But the early returns, people seem to be pretty optimistic about that too.
Well, I mean, I don't care how well you do or do not really recognize what's going on in offensive sets, how well you can break it down. You only need to have just been paying attention to last year and this year to just know They're running offense now with so much more of a tangible sense of purpose on the court. Like, you can see that guys are working off each other with, you know, an objective in mind, like, mm-hmm. and you know, like an agenda together that just wasn't there.
It looks better. Yeah. And I do think, though, that, you know, Walker has been a better ball handler. Obviously, you're adding on, who's not a Chris Paul like point guard, but he's a point guard, meaning he can pass the ball. He can make the right read. He can make the right pass. And you have more of that available to you this year. And I think that will help them. It is looking like a better roster than the Lakers had available to them last year. There's still a few more things, actually, that we'd love to get to from Sunday's game and looking ahead into the rest of the week as the Lakers kind of wrap up the preseason. But obviously, we want to make sure we spend at least some time talking about Rob Pelinka. I suspect this will probably take up a lot more time on Monday's show as well. But the Lakers have extended Rob Pelinka through, was it 25-26?
Yep.
The same time frame now as Darvin. Mm-hmm. And as the reporting has become a little more clear on how this has gone down, at least in my mind, it explains a lot of how the Lakers have approached this offseason. It does not, however, make Lakers fans happy. So we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your pro and college betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores, the fastest, easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, but of course, also Locked On Lakers Familia, the NBA. The 2023 season is just around the corner. You are running out of opportunities to lay down some early action. The Lakers currently 22-1 to win the title, but maybe the generally strong preseason, when the regulars have been in, have impressed the odds makers to some degree, because the Lakers have gone from a 6-point underdog in their season opener against the Warriors to 5.5 points. Ooh. Or it could be because Draymond Green could be away from the team on ring night. He's punching
people. I like your other explanation better.
He's punching people, Brian. LeBron currently 14-1 to lead the league in scoring. That would make him 6. Joel Embiid, the current favorite. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts.
So the news, Andy, broke this weekend that Rob Pelinka and the Lakers have agreed to an extension that takes him through the 25-26 season. So basically the 4 years. Rob now has the 4 years that Darvin has. People were not happy. Not happy. Lakers fans, Lakers social media, Lakers Twitter did not react to this news well.
No, and nor would I have expected them to, nope, to do well. Rob Pelinka is attached to the 2020 championship, and that obviously cannot be taken away from him. But I think it is fair to say the amount of direct credit that he's gotten for that championship, fairly or unfairly, I tend to vote more towards fairly, has always been something of a fleeting thing. You would agree?
I would agree.
He is not considered.
I don't think constructing that championship thing was the hardest thing a GM has ever done.
No, he is not considered a logo 2.0 in the minds of.
I will say I'm fairly
observers
sure
around the league.
Other teams around the league were probably not disappointed at this news.
No.
It's
a weird thing in that it is both not terribly surprising, because as much as there has, you know, there's been the occasional report, particularly in the off season, that, you know, Jeannie Buss is getting impatient with what's going on. We heard her say before that if nothing else, she thought her ROI from the payroll last off season
wasn't there.
Suboptimal, to use a word, Brian, you like to employ.
I love suboptimal.
I know you do. Jeannie, though, has, by all public and most private appearances, or leaked private appearances, I should say, stuck pretty strongly next to Rob Pelinka.
Right, because most of the reports that you're talking about were right at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right when it was done, right after they fired Frank, right after that. that, you know, Rob Pelinka, you are on notice in another season like this and you're gone. But since Darvin has been on board, since they made that hire, it hasn't been there. And there are two things about this that I think are kind of fascinating. The first one is this. Rob Pelinka, about the only thing I think I've given him a lot of credit for this offseason is the idea that a lame duck GM is actually much more dangerous than a lame duck coach. A GM who thinks he's got a GM to keep his job now will not abide by the sort of dual responsibilities that a GM has. Make your team competitive now. Make sure you're taking care of the long-term interests of the franchise in the process, because if you think you're going to be fired if your team sucks, you don't care about the long-term interests. He has been GMing like a guy who thinks that he's going to be around and that does not have the pressure to make a win now move for cosmetic purposes just because of that. And so you go to the reporting from Dave McMenamin at ESPN, because it was announced this weekend. Chris Haynes at Yahoo broke the story. But Dave points out that the agreement was really made when they hired Darvin. That the idea was going to be that, you know, that they will line up Darvin and Rob together, because and this is true. It is better when your coach and your GM are aligned contractually, so nobody feels a different push pull. And so I've said a bunch of times, he's not GMing like a guy who thinks he's going to be fired if he doesn't make a big move this offseason, because as it turns out, he was not a guy who thought he was going to get fired if he doesn't make a big move this offseason. He knew this was coming. So step one, I thought that was very revealing.
Yeah. And I think that's also, frankly, really smart of Jeannie Buss as somebody who's ultimately in charge of all of this, because, you know, when you look back at when the summer of 2016, when Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak, you know, made their 1201 call to Timofey Mozgov, then brought in Lou Aldang, and there was a general, what the F are they doing reaction? Like, what? Uh-huh. Those were guys, and I'll tell you right now, if you've been watching the Hulu documentary about the Lakers, which if you're not, you should, because it's really good. They get into this, and, you know, like, not necessarily the signing of Mozgov and Deng, but that summer, and, you know, Jim's infamous declaration that he would get the team back in the postseason in 3 years, or he would resign himself and everything. And then he said it privately, then publicly. And, you know, if you thought saying that privately was dumb, wait, you know, saying it publicly. But those were decisions made by people who clearly thought that their jobs were on the line based on success. And to be fair to Jim and Mitch, I don't think they got many reassurances that there would be patience accorded to them, right, in terms of that transition from Kobe and the last couple of years of Kobe, where he was a shell of himself. But they still refused to start taking proactive steps towards rebuilding correctly. And that is on Jeannie Buss. I think that's how Jeannie wanted it. And I'm not looking to relitigate it, but it does seem like there is not that sort of pressure now on Rob Pelinka that could lead to stupid decisions. And look, Pelinka can make bad decisions without that type of pressure.
We've seen it.
He doesn't need additional pressure where you start making, if nothing else, bad decisions for the wrong reasons.
So that leads to my second thing. And I suspect this is where I really want to, we're not going to have time to go as deep into this for Monday's show. And I think we can get much deeper into it Tuesday and as the week goes on. What you have here, we talk all the time about process. What is the Lakers' process? Do they have a good process? The process on Darvin Ham, it's been good. The process, you know, I think, you know, the process that got them to how they're building the roster, terrible. The process that of actually trying to fill out the roster this offseason, didn't like the Walker deal, but they at least seem to have some sort of cogent plan in place.
Assuming they put out some calls to like Otto Porter Jr.
Sort of
Bruce Brown. Like, assuming
it is an imperfect, they set themselves up to have an imperfect.
Right.
And we'll get into more detail here.
No, I'm saying is just in terms of process, assuming they put out legit offers to the best wings available, yes, and then got told no, and then went out and, you know, got the best clutch guy that they could get. Okay, fine.
Right. And we'll get into, I don't want to get sidetracked. It's like so much. Tuesday's show is going to be
deeper.
Yes. The process on this is correct. It is smart to have your GM and your coach aligned in the way that they are talking about here. It is smart for the same reason it would have been smarter to give Vogel a second year to work with on the, would have changed the dynamic with Westbrook. It would have changed so many things to go from lame duck to, okay, really, you're still a lame duck. Like, you know, nobody believes, you know, that you're not a lame duck here. The same principle applies to your GM. And so, assuming the Lakers are always willing to eat money and say, okay, I mean, we're going to fire you anyway, but at least you have this security. It helps around the league that there's the perception that Pelinka's job isn't immediately in jeopardy, relieves leverage that other teams have over Pelinka to relinquish more or make a bad deal or whatever it might be. All of this process-wise in a vacuum makes sense.
Yep.
The problem, Andy, and I wonder if you might identify the same thing. I'm not sure Rob Pelinka is very good at his job. So the person that they have extended this to and the stuff that they have done to accommodate and solidify Pelinka is wasted potentially on the guy that they are correct in principle and maybe wrong in practice, because Rob may not be very good at his job. That's the problem. And that is the source of the anger of Lakers fans this offseason when they're looking at things in the wake of the Westbrook deal. Some people look at me like, and you haven't even made another deal to undo it.
We've tried to explain from the moment that they made this trade, undoing it, if it goes sideways, that's going to be a B. Right there.
It's a two-year commitment.
Good luck with that.
But, and I want to get way deeper into this on Tuesday and maybe even leave people with this. My greatest concern, and I think the biggest indictment with Pelinka, isn't the Westbrook trade. Set that aside for a minute if you can. It's a big one. It's hard to set aside. The bigger problems with Pelinka and the basketball ops department are things like THT, Reeves, the Schroeder deal, the JaVale Gasol thing where they just gave up second round picks for, you know, like their popcorn, and sort of these detail things that good basketball operations departments do that Rob Pelinka's department does not. The Lakers need somebody who's very good at those things going forward. They have somebody who's based on track record, very bad at them. And they just extended him for 4 years or 3 years or whatever it is. That does not make me confident. I think the Lakers are correct in their philosophical approach to what they've done here, and they've done it on the wrong guy.
I mean,
Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show a little bit early.
We'll discuss it further.
We'll discuss this.
Got some thoughts on that. And also,
leave your comments on the YouTube page.
One positive.
Tweet us. Yes.
One positive that has been revealed from this that is not really about Rob Pelinka, it's about somebody else that I think is very positive that's been revealed through this extension that we will talk about on Tuesday.
Ooh, that's a good tease. You're a professional radio guy there. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see everybody on Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
A lot to talk about on Tuesday.